Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode, we have a franchise history review of the All-America Football Conference continues as the Miami Seahawks franchise team is talked about and their origin and through their demise and all things in between, coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And today we're going to continue our trek through the All-American Football Conference. We're going to go team by team, give you a little bit deeper dive view into some of these great teams from history and some of their contributions to the game. Even though the league only lasted a few years, some great history came out of that league. And today we're going to go to the southern state of Florida. And when we think of pro football in the state of Florida today, we of course think of the NFL and the Miami Dolphins and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jacksonville Jaguars. Did you know none of these NFL franchises were the first professional gridiron team in the state of Florida? Heck, the NFL wasn't even the first pro league to place a franchise in Sunshine State. They were the third rendition of the AFL, brought us the current Miami Dolphins in 1966. But it was the AAFC some 20 years earlier, prior to the Dolphins, that they placed the first paid squad of players in the state of Florida. That team was the Miami Seahawks, and it has no historic connections to either of today's franchises, you know, not the Miami Dolphins or the Seattle Seahawks, as somebody could easily connect to. No connection at all. That only they share the names. So this Seahawks team's history started and ended in, of all places, the city of Baltimore, Maryland. So that's kind of odd. So let's get into more detail on that, of the Baltimore Loop. In the mid-1940s, as Arch Ward was gathering together a group of potential owners for his newest football venture, the All-American Football Conference, as we talked about last time, we discussed this in our last episode, and it focused on the start of the AAFC. Now, one of the original franchises was supposed to be in the city of Baltimore, as owner candidate George Tunney, the former boxing great, was organizing and heading a group of investors that wanted to have a pro football franchise centered there in Baltimore. Now, they did their financial work to be able to have the franchise, but when they could not secure a stadium deal in Baltimore, Tunney had to ring the bell and get out of the ring, so to speak, in this fight, because he just could not have a franchise without a stadium to play in. So the ever-resourceful Arch Ward called upon a Plan B option at the last hour so he'd get that eighth franchise in the inaugural season. And it was a totally different group, with the main owner being Harvey Hester, and he was given a franchise as he had both the cash and the rights to play in Miami's Orange Bowl Stadium. They would call themselves the Seahawks, but they had more of an uphill climb than the other clubs in the AAFC. First off, they were playing in a market that was less than half the size of most of the other clubs in the league and even the NFL. All other cities were at least in the top 15 of the USA's major metro areas at the time, but Miami was not even close to that at the time. This made for some very troublesome times trying to gain fan support that would be enough to support a franchise in a major football stadium like the size of the Orange Bowl, and support a franchise indeed to make money, because that's what they're in business for. Secondly, Hester was not as wealthy as the other owners. They all had deep pockets to keep a franchise rolling in the inaugural season of the new league, but old Harvey unfortunately did not have the same size bank account. A Cleveland Browns coach, Paul Brown, later summarized this fact by saying something to the effect that Harvey could not even comfortably play in the same poker game with the other AAFC owners. Regardless of the obstacles, the Seahawks trudged on. They hired their first coach, Jack Meagher, a former Notre Dame college player, and even had a stint in the early NFL with the Chicago Tigers as a player, playing in a platoon system, before he moved into the coaching ranks of college programs such as Auburn, where he was the head man from 1934 to 1942. He even took Auburn to its first ever bowl game, the Bacardi Bowl, which was played in Cuba for a few years. We had some specials on that around New Year's. The Seahawks had a tough start playing their first three games on the road, and they dropped all three of them, three instant losses. And Meagher, after leading Miami club through its first six games and garnering just one victory in those games, abruptly handed in his resignation. Just didn't think they could go any further with him at the helm. So Hester went out and almost immediately hired a former Chicago Bears captain from a few years earlier, Hamp Poole, to coach his franchise. And Poole had the advantage of playing the last six of his games at home with the Seahawks, a league strategy of using the warm Florida air near the season's end that they thought would maybe keep fans coming to the games, or at least so they thought. They didn't realize the Seahawks were going to be as miserable as they were a ball club. And the Seahawks lost all six of those in the homestand as well. However, the Seahawks did get some important test marks that would later be used in pro football. They played three straight Monday evening games in November, in the month of November. And many say this was the basis for what brought Monday Night Football to ABC some 24 years later. It didn't do much for the financial situation of the club, though, as they were some $350,000 in the hole at the season's end, a debt that Harvey Hester could not afford, and he ended up having to claim bankruptcy. And so some other groups in Miami, some of the fan base, some boosters, tried to buy the franchise rights from Hester to keep the team in Miami, but none of them wanted to get stuck with Harvey's $350,000 in debt from that first season. So Hester eventually had to file bankruptcy, and the Seahawks were in financial distress, and thus the franchise was stripped from Hester, and the AAFC bought the rights to it and resold it to a new investor group from wherever, Baltimore, Maryland, that had a stadium deal in hand, and this group was headed by a Washington, D.C. attorney, Robert Rodenberg, and four other businessmen, and they were awarded the club, and they reformed the team and called it the team of Baltimore, renamed it the original incarnation of the Baltimore Colts was born. And we're going to talk more about them in just a couple days here. Wednesday, we're going to have historian Larry Schmidt on to talk about this and even more detail, explain a lot about the different versions of the Baltimore Colts and this AAFC team being one of them. And also in a few weeks, we will be getting to the Baltimore Colts in our AAFC Early Teams series here. So stay tuned for that on Mondays coming up. And the city of Miami, in retrospect, would not enjoy pro football again after the Seahawks and get their own franchise until the 1966 AFL season, when actor Danny Thomas partnered with Joe Robey to build the Dolphins organization. Now, stories have it that Ralph Wilson once considered placing his AFL franchise, which later became known as the Buffalo Bills, there in Miami in the 1960s, but the city officials rejected his offer. Well, stay tuned every Monday over the next 2 months here, as we will cover every AAFC team in detail, including the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Colts, and as well as some other great teams. And we're going to have some very good guests on here, expert historians, to talk about some of these teams. And we're really looking forward to that. And don't forget to check us out on Wednesday as Larry Schmidt talks about the Baltimore Colts franchises and how they may or may not be connected to the Indianapolis Colts. So we have some great history coming up. You can find it here each and every day on pigskindispatch.com. Till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. we invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.